Good morning, or good afternoon, or good evening, or just a good thing you're here. I was going to do that good morning joke again, but it's getting stale. I know last time I said that I was going to keep doing it every single time I got up here, but after listening to the recording as many times as I did, I realized it's not that funny, so I won't do it, don't worry. I want to start off, first of all, of course, thank you to Pastor Rory, again, for just being gutsy and letting us come up here and teach. Just thanks for the opportunity. You're either really, really gutsy or you have a lot of faith. So, yeah, you're really gutsy. I want to turn your attentions to Galatians chapter 2, verse 20. I have been crucified with Christ, and it is no longer I who live, but Christ lives indwelling me. And the Zoe life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me unconditionally and who gave himself up as a substitute for me. This, again, is why we come to church, so that in the tough times, we can remember that it's Christ who lives through us, and by his unconditional love, we can handle any circumstance we find ourselves in. So in preparation for the study of the Word of God, it's time for self-evaluation. You can ask yourself, what thought pattern am I allowing to influence my life? Bible study is a time for us to focus on our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This is a time for us to let the Word of God flood our souls with his thoughts, thus allowing us to operate with his unconditional love. We can choose where we want to focus our attention, either on the things of this world or on the kingdom of heaven. In Romans 12:2, says, do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect. Now is the time to let your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through the power of God the Holy Spirit, prepare you in humility to receive the word implanted, which is able to save your souls. And as God prepares you for the renewing of your mind, we're going to go ahead and listen to my good friend, Brett McKay. We're going to listen to him worship our Lord in song while you concentrate on your Lord and Savior. The opening song is, You Are.
Everything.
That is my really good friend, Brett. He's supposed to be visiting here in October, and I asked him, hey, would you be interested in singing a song? But I think he has stage fright, so I don't know. If he comes in October, I guess we'll see. Let us get started. Let's pray. We're grateful, Heavenly Father, for the privilege of studying the absolute truth, the Word of God. Please help us to learn that you want more than our time, talent, and treasure. Help us to learn how to display your unconditional love through our lives. And help us to give all of ourselves and hold nothing back. We ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, and in Christ's name, amen. Welcome to Barah Ministries. My name is Deacon Caleb Alburn, and you're listening to Lesson 484 of the Creator versus Conflict series. Creator versus Creature Conflict series. That is a tongue twister. We just need to call it like Trip C's or something. Welcome to a ministry designed for people who want to develop a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's study, unconditional love expresses gratitude through giving. That's a good title. You don't know, but this is probably one of my favorite parts about making the lessons, because I'm terrible at making titles. So when I get one, I probably go too far. I know it sounds a little redundant, but that's what we get to learn today, is unconditional love expresses gratitude through giving. We're studying our Creator. We're learning about God's person and His work. So again, we can learn to have a deep, intimate, and personal relationship with Him. It's pretty tough to love someone you don't know very well. So we use this time to get to know our God. We use an encoding device called the Creator Clock to introduce ourselves to the various aspects of God's character and nature. So tick-tock, what time is it on the Creator Clock? It's 13 o'clock. God is love. And we're going to study God's unconditional love so that we can learn to give all of ourselves just as He has, just as He's done for us. But before we get started today, or I guess this is actually part of it, I want to address an issue in Barah Ministries. It seems as a whole, we have been struck by complacency. There's been a recurring theme that God keeps pressing on me lately. It seems Barah Ministries has gotten comfortable. We all know what parts we play, and we all know what parts we don't, so it's not about pointing fingers. This reoccurring theme that I'm talking about is God using me to help exhort our church. It's not necessarily the most fun thing that I do. You know, when I'm talking with other people, you know, outside of being up here and I'm talking to them, I've expressed that the hardest part for me of getting up here is knowing that I'm teaching on things that I still have to work on and that I fail on all the time. Now, I can't stress enough that this lesson or any of the other lessons that I've taught, they're not designed to condemn us. My personal goal, you know, despite God's goal when He gets up here, my personal goal is that I want to inspire and challenge Christians to step up and to walk in a manner worthy of the calling with which you have been called. This is a passion of mine. Now again, this is not always an easy thing to do. It's not easy to spend 10 to 15 hours at home preparing a lesson just to come here at night after I've worked all day, again, to teach on things that I myself need to work on also. That being said, I think there's a pretty common verse that we've all come to expect when I stand up here, so I'll just get that one out of the way. Romans 8:1. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. And again, it's not fun for me having to go up here and, you know, use this verse all the time. But the reality is that there are some people who take feedback as an attack on them personally. This verse, I'm convinced, was designed for them. We come to church not because we're perfect. We come here because we love God. And we want to learn about this Creator who has given everything to us. That's why I personally come here. This is the main point of this lesson today, is that God's given everything to us. He doesn't just call us to give a little bit of ourselves. He calls us to give all of ourselves. He makes this loud and clear all over the Bible. And today, we're going to get to tour part of this Bible, because I'm not going to take it easy on you today. I'm not just going to flip to every single verse for you. I'm going to actually make you use your thumbs. If you cheat and you use digital, by all means. But I'm going to get some time for all the slow pokes to at least get familiar with the Bible, where the books are. We're going to go ahead. We're going to turn to Romans 5:8. Romans 5:8. It's New Testament. I believe it's the sixth book of the Bible. So you can be at home. You can fake like you're turning pages. But the truth is, my lesson is one page shorter than it usually is. So if I can take time by waiting for you, I can just blame you, and it's easier for me. So hopefully you're there now. Romans 5:8. This is what God is making loud and clear all over the Bible. But God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. I mean, really, really wrap your head around that verse. How do you demonstrate love? It's simple. You give anything and everything of yourself to someone who didn't even earn it. Yeah, probably easier said than done. But that's what Christ did for us. Again, without us doing anything to earn or deserve that. Or how about John 3:16? Just, you know, backtrack just a little bit. God stresses again his love for us. Most of you probably know this, so I understand if you're not going to turn to it, so I'll just go. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his uniquely born son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish but have eternal life. This is love. This is what encompasses love. We've all heard 1,000 times that love is a verb. That's right. Love is an action word. Obviously, that's not an easy thing. If love was an adjective, we'd all probably have a lot better relationships. But unfortunately, that's just not so. Expressing love requires giving of ourselves. If you don't believe this, take Jesus' word for it. He confirms this in John chapter 13, verse 34. This one I actually want you to turn to. I'm not just killing time on this one. I want you to see this verse. But if you turn to John 3:16, you're pretty close to it. John chapter 13, verse 34 through 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all men will know that you are my disciples if you have love for one another. Did you catch that again in the beginning? This is a commandment by God himself. Now, I understand that God created us with free will. I understand that a request of free will is just that. It's a request of free will. And because we have free will, we have the ability to act in opposition. We have the right to choose to do something opposite of what God tells us to do. But do we really think that's going to work out for our benefit? Do we really think that not doing what God tells us to do is going to work out, you know, for our good? The easy and obvious answer is no, of course not. Going against God's mandates is never a good idea. However, I believe that we often use our free will as an excuse for inaction. But that doesn't mean that it gets us off the hook. All because we get to water it down and say, this is a mandate given by God and I have free will so I can choose to do it or choose not to do it. That doesn't mean that we don't still endure our own consequences, good or bad. Jesus, again, presses us just a little further down. John chapter 14, verse 15. So if you're keeping up with me, I try to make this simple. If you're keeping up with me, you can still stay in John, just go forward a little bit. This is what John tells us in John chapter 14, verse 15. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you will keep my commandments. Now that's a question you can ask yourself. God commands us to demonstrate his unconditional love by giving all of ourselves, even to people we don't think deserve it. That I want to stress and that I want to repeat. God commands us to demonstrate his unconditional love by giving all of ourselves, even to other people that we don't think deserve it, even to your spouse, even to your boss, even to friends who let you down. That's a tough pill to swallow. That's the hardest part about me getting up here and teaching you. God's not gingerly requesting that this is something we think about maybe possibly getting to one day. God is authoritatively telling us to love one another just as he loves us. And by that, by doing that, other people are going to know that we're his disciples. How's that for a new take on evangelism? Actually living Christianity instead of just talking about it. Instead of just being at a bar with a friend, half drunk, telling them about sin, righteousness, and judgment. There's definitely different ways to evangelize. Let's move forward just a little bit in our Bibles. Let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. So if you're in John, it's like three things down or something like that. You got Acts, Romans, 1 Corinthians. There you go. So it's like the seventh book in the New Testament. Go ahead, get to it. And if you're digital, you're already there. And now you're probably hating everybody who's not, but that's okay. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 14. Let all that you do be done in love. That's simple and straightforward. Finding verses in the Bible that tell us how to operate in love might be the easiest thing I've ever had to do. I mean, it's simple. Too bad that I didn't know that at first. So I go ahead, I get online, and I search anything and everything I can about God's love that I can find. And I find scores of web pages, you know, telling me anything and everything I ever wanted to know. And most of them is nothing more than just ill-trained men telling me about their opinions. Well, eventually, okay, you know, I got it. The light bulb turns on, and God whispers in my ear. And before I even tell you what he says, I don't know how God talks to you, but God is condescending when he talks to me. He's not very nice when he talks to me. So he whispers in my ear. He goes, "Hey, dummy, why don't you open up that book over there?" So I'm looking. He goes, "Yeah, that book over there. It's called the Bible." Okay. "Yeah, you might find something in there about how much I love you." Okay. I get it. Joke's on me. Now, I know that I'm saying this in jest, but in all reality, I can't tell you how much time I've wasted while preparing lessons because I'm searching online when the answers are right in front of me in the Bible. All I had to do was open up that book. Now, how often do you find yourself in those shoes too? That's my question. How often are you turning to everyone you know when you have problems in your life? How often are you asking your pastor, asking the deacons, asking your friends, asking your parents, asking coaches, asking your boss, asking coworkers? In reality, 90% of the time, asking your friends. How often are you doing that when the answer is right in front of you? A little prayer and a little Bible. The Bible just illuminates so many facets of our life. One of them is how we show love. It's now clear to us that God wants us to show his love out there in a lost and dying world. Well, how do we do that? I think that's a pretty good and I think that's a fair question. But we have the answer. We got to turn backwards now in your Bible. Now you got to go backtrack a little bit to Luke. Sorry again. Luke, I think, is like the third book in the New Testament. See, I'm trying to keep everything really, really close for you. So it's Luke chapter 6, verse 20. Verse 30. Go ahead and get there. Luke chapter 6, verse 30. This is how we show love to a lost and dying world. We give to everyone who asks of you. And whoever takes away what is yours, do not demand it back. And as Elliot taught us the other week, this goes far deeper than time, talent, and treasure. This goes down to our very core. Give anything and everything that we can to help other people. This is what God did, this is what God does, and this is what God's going to continuously do for us every single day of our lives. And the best part is, I mean, God's not a tyrant. He's not just telling us just to do things simply because he says to. He designed this world and he knows what works and he knows what doesn't. He wants us to do these things because he knows that, you know, not only is it going to help others, obviously you're going to put others first, it's going to help them, but it helps us as well. God cares for us, and he wants his highest and best for us. And he reminds us this in the book of Proverbs. Don't worry, I'm not gonna wait for everyone to attempt to find the book of Proverbs. So I'm just going to do it for you. It's Proverbs chapter 11, verse 24. We're told, there is one who scatters and yet increases all the more. And there is one who withholds what is justly due, and yet it results only in want. How often do you find this true in your life? Because I can't tell you how many times that I've talked with other people, and we're talking about giving. That's the subject that comes up. And they genuinely want to give more. They really do. But they're waiting until they have more to do it. And to this day, they're still waiting. Because it doesn't start with getting. It starts with giving. And they find themselves in that endless cycle, just telling themselves, well, if I get more, I'll give more. If I get more, I'll give more. But I can't tell you how many times I see other people give more, and then they see it reciprocated. We're going to go ahead, we're going to take a 5-minute break. And when we come back, we're going to read a story about someone who gave everything of themselves. So go ahead, take a 5-minute break, and we're going to listen to Everything Impossible by Mercy Me. So far away from everything I knew. Welcome back. That's a great song, by the way. Thank you. All the songs that you choose, Caleb, are awesome. I know. I understand. Let's go ahead. Let's turn in our Bibles to Mark chapter 12, verse 41. I was told that you're not crazy if you talk to yourself. You're only crazy if you start talking back. So there, now you know. It's documented. This is the story we're going to read. So again, you actually have to turn there. So it's Mark chapter 12, verse 41. We're going to read until the end of the chapter to verse 44. This is a story that I'm sure most of us have heard before. And if not, well, hey, this will be new for you, so that's good too. But for those of you who have heard it before, I don't want to gloss over it. I'm tired of just glossing over stories. I want to be intimate with these stories. I want to know who wrote it, to who, what they're about, when they're written. I want to know these stories. And I want to take them to heart. So again, it's Mark chapter 12, verse 41. And he, this is Jesus, sat down opposite the treasury and began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to a cent. And calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned and all she had to live on." This is what God has been gnawing at me lately. It's this story, this particular story is what God has had on me and just gnawing and gnawing and gnawing for a long time now. You see, we don't teach tithing here at Barah Ministries. This is a grace ministry. We don't teach tithing because, quite frankly, we don't see any place in the Bible where God says that Christians need to give 10% of their income. And we attempt to do anything we can to teach what the Bible is saying. We believe that this is a grace ministry. We believe that God gives the Word of God freely. And we want to reflect this same grace. We believe that each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And I believe that we have become stale to this. I believe that we have used the absence of tithing as an excuse for inaction. Now, before anyone gets their feathers ruffled, I'm not teaching that we have to give 10% of our income to God, because again, we don't see that in the New Testament talking about Christians. I'm merely asking those questions that I do so often that make you think. My question is, why not? Why not give 10% of your income to God? Is it all because tithing isn't a rule for us? Why do we use that as a reason to give less of ourselves? Why don't we use that as a reason to give more? The widow in this story, she gave substantially more than 10%, simply out of gratitude. Now, God's not telling us to go broke and go live on the streets. But my question is, what do you have to worry about? What do we have to worry about? Do we really not believe that God's going to take care of our bills? You know, and again, and I ask people back before the break, I ask people all the time, you know, do you want to give? They tell me, yeah, I'd love to give. I just need to get more first. You know, and in Proverbs, we learn that's not the right attitude. But I understand the sentiment. I get it when someone says, yeah, they are worried that, you know, God's not going to take care of their bills. They know it, they're told it, but they don't actually believe it. So let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. This one, again, I do actually want you to turn to. I'm not just telling you that to kill time. I actually want you to go to Matthew. It's easy. It's the first book of the New Testament. Matthew chapter 6, verse 26. And some of you probably already know where I'm headed with this. But this is what God tells us. Look at the birds of the air, that they do not sow nor reap nor gather into barns. And yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not worth much more than they? That's the question. Are you not worth much more than they? And you know, maybe it's because I'm 26. Maybe it's because I'm young. Maybe it's because I'm inexperienced. Maybe it's because I'm cocky. Maybe it's because I'm arrogant. Maybe it's because of all those excuses I've heard about me all the time. But I do. I firmly believe that I'm worth much more than a bird. And I don't just say that, I believe it. I know that I'm worth more than a bird because I've seen God pull through every single time. And at 26, if I can say that, I'm actually excited for when I'm 52 and I can watch the next 26 years of my life to just see how many more times he comes through. Maybe giving until it hurts isn't such a bad idea. You know, I was talking with someone and they were telling me about their church. They have a mantra at their church and it's called give until it hurts. I like that. You know, and I was telling him ours, you know, give your time, talent, and treasure. And he likes that. But I really like his. Give until that hurts. Get a little faith in there. You know, maybe giving until it hurts isn't suicidal. Maybe giving all of yourself and everything to the point of uncomfortableness isn't the worst thing in the world. Maybe that builds faith in God. Maybe it helps you become a good steward of your finances. Maybe this builds capacity in your souls. Maybe if we can be trusted in a little, we can then be trusted in a lot. Now, this isn't just in the matter of giving financially. This isn't all we do. When God tells us to do something, he tells us, because it's not only in our best interest, right? I mean, if we're going to do something, it's not just for us. He tells us this because it actually affects other people too. You know, before I said if you're giving of somebody else, it's obvious it's going to help them. But it also helps you. Well, this is for you. Sometimes if you do something for yourself, that's the obvious. It's going to help you. But it also helps other people. You know, another thing that God tells us to do is to stimulate each other by love, stimulate each other to love by being together. And, you know, at first I thought that Pastor John Farley was just copying all my lessons, and I thought that Deacon Elliot was stealing all my offering lessons, but, you know, maybe there's an actual lesson in unison that God's trying to get across to all of us. So turn in your Bibles to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25. It's towards the end of the book. That one should be pretty easy to find too. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 through 25. And let us consider how to stimulate one another to love and good deeds, not forsaking our own assembling together, as is the habit of some, but encouraging one another, and all the more as you see the day drawing near. Again, this isn't a fun topic to bring up. And, you know, I talk a lot. I like to think I listen a lot, but I talk a lot. And I like to talk a lot with people from other church organizations just because I'm curious what's going on over there. You know, because we're young, we're growing, so I like to see, you know, other churches that have been established for a while. I like to see kind of what's going on with them. And after talking with people, Barah Ministries is truly probably the only church in history that has local resident, non-resident congregation members. And whenever I've talked with anybody about that, they laugh. They flat out laugh. And honestly, I don't think they're being rude. There's just, I mean, you don't even have a vocabulary word for that. It's tough to comprehend that that's true. But it is. You know, the number one reason why people leave a church is because of relationships. They don't like something that someone else said. They don't like something that someone else did. they don't like something that the ministry is going. For whatever reason, they don't like something. Well, you know, if you want to have your ears tickled, there you go. But we're forgetting one simple principle here. It's edification. We're so self-focused sometimes that we think that the only people affected by us showing up to church is ourselves. That's not true. We buy into the lie that we can just catch the lessons online and that it's not a big deal if we show up late or, for that matter, show up at all. We never stop to think that maybe, just maybe, us going to church edifies other members. We don't ever stop to think that maybe there was a divine appointment that you were supposed to have with a guest one Sunday, but you missed it because you were just going to catch the lesson online. And as amazing as church is, you know, as amazing as it is for you to come to church, you know, just for yourself, that's nothing compared to the compounding effect that it has on the rest of the body of Christ. And even if I can't speak on behalf of everyone else, which I'm doing because I get to do a little bit since I'm the only one standing here and nobody else is talking. That's the beauty of having this on video. Even though I can't speak for everyone, I'm speaking on behalf of me. When we see consistent faces, it builds me up. When we see new faces and guests, it builds me up. When we see increased donations, it builds me up. When we see others stepping up with questions, we see people stepping up with answers and solutions, that builds me up. When we see love being manifested through giving, that builds me up. We need to stop coming up with excuses to give less of ourselves and start coming up with reasons to give more. And I believe the first reason that we can come up with is 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And at this point, you have to know this. I think the first reason that we can come up with is 1 Corinthians 13, 13. But now faith, hope, love. Abide these three. But the greatest of these is love. We're being told that we need to have faith, hope, and love simultaneously. But you know what? If for whatever reason that just seems too high up on the tree for you to grab, if doing all three of those is just too difficult, and if you're only going to choose one, that better be love. Ideally, you're choosing all three, but you know what? If you don't want to aim that high, it better at least be love that you're choosing. Or 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 3. And if I give all my possessions to feed the poor, and if I surrender my body to be burned but do not have love, it profits me nothing. Look, I understand that there are 100 reasons why each individual is where they are in life. But don't let excuses stop you from playing to win. I know that we don't have a band. I know the leadership isn't quite where we want it to be. I know we don't have a building. I know we don't have multiple publications out there. I know this ministry as a whole may not be where we want it to be. But let's not use this as excuses for inaction. Let's use these circumstances to inspire us to step up and play to win. So I want to turn in our Bibles again. And again, this one's for real. I actually want you to turn here. But it's in James, so you're in Hebrews, so it's the next book. So I don't even want to hear excuses. Is James chapter 2, verse 15. And I love James. In fact, is probably the second person I want to, and obviously God has to be number one, so we can't count him. It's too easy of a Sunday school answer. You know, when people ask you, who do you want to meet when you go to heaven? James is number two. Right after Thomas. Which I know I'm going to get, you know, the shaft for, but hear me out on this. I have a good reason for why Thomas is number one for me. He had guts. He had ignorant guts, but he had guts. Who else got to look God in the face and say, prove it? I mean, yeah, he's an idiot, but I like that. I respect that, and I admire that. And, you know, it just came to my head, one really good benefit of being the only person who wants to see Thomas is he won't have to split his time with me in heaven. So I'm going to have a really good best friend, and we're going to get to know everything about each other. And all of you Peter-loving people out there, you're going to have to divide your attention. You know, you're going to have a minute of millennia with him. So good job. You won't even have a good friend. It's just going to be me. And actually, James is probably going to have a lot of friends. But James chapter 2, verses 15 through 16. This is where I want us to focus our attention. This is what James says. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace and be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? This right here is why I love James, by the way. He got to tell it just like it was. He didn't sugarcoat it. He didn't have to pick and choose everything he was going to say to, you know, to think about his audience. He just says it flat out straight. You know, he wasn't concerned about offending people. That's why I love him. And he makes matters even quite clear. In the next verse, in verse 17, James tells us, even so faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. That's worth repeating. Even so faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. So that, I want to read that together now. If a brother or sister is without clothing and in need of daily food, and one of you says to them, go in peace, be warmed and be filled, and yet you do not give them what is necessary for their body, what use is that? Even so, faith, if it has no works, is dead, being by itself. That's beautiful when you couple that together. James isn't saying here that if you don't do things to earn your salvation, then you're not going to make the cut. That's not what he's saying here. In fact, if you read on further, which is the homework assignment, if I have the ability to give you a homework assignment, I want the entire book of James read. And specifically, I want you to read on the next paragraph, because that's not what James is saying here. In fact, what James is saying in essence here is that faith works. He's telling us that works is the physical manifestation of faith. He's telling us that faith is a verb. Sounds a little familiar? Much like love. Love gives. Faith works. Love gives. That's what James is telling us here. And again, this isn't a plea to start living the doo-doo life by shooting all over ourselves. You like that? I'll repeat that just for you. This is a thank you, Pastor Rory, for giving me this one. This isn't a plea to start living the doo-doo life by shooting all over yourselves. This is a lesson designed to inspire us to want to freely give and to freely live in God's unconditional love. Our closing song today is All of Me by Matt Hammett. And just remember that expressing unconditional love requires that we give all of ourselves. So go ahead and listen to All of Me by Matt Hammett.
Something that could break. Could I I move on if you were torn away? And I'm so close to what I can't control. I can't give you half my heart and pray he makes you whole. You're gonna have all of me. You're gonna have all of me. 'Cause you're worth every falling tear. You're worth facing any fear. You're gonna know all my love, even if it's not enough, enough to mend our broken hearts. But giving you all of me is where I'll start. I won't let sadness steal you from my arms. I won't let pain keep you from my heart. I'll trade the fear of all that I could lose for every moment I'll share with you. You're gonna have all of me. You're gonna have all.
Welcome back. So a side note, I just found out that I'm going to be doing the offering message for the whole summer. I found that out after this lesson was done, so that way nobody thinks I'm trying to cheat the system. But see, Elliot let it slide a few weeks ago. Apparently, us three deacons are in competition for who brings in the most offerings. Denny and I didn't know that, so this hopefully can guilt everybody into making sure that when I give my offerings the whole summer, that you just make sure that I'm just beating Elliot. I don't care if it's only by a dollar. I just need to be beating him because I didn't know that we were even competing. So he's had a head start. And apparently, like he said, he was still losing. So this is the master offering message. So now you'll just get a little sound bites for the next 5 minutes a week for the summer. Let's go to Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans for welfare and not for calamity, to give you a future and a hope. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may promote you at the proper time, slamming all your cares on his back, because he cares for you. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to make you stand in the presence of his glory, blameless and with great joy. To the only God, our Savior, through Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory, majesty, dominion, and authority before all time and now and forever. Let us pray. God, thank you for teaching us that you love us so much that there is nothing you haven't already done for us. Lord, thank you for teaching us that we can live a life of your unconditional love, which expresses our gratitude for you by giving all of ourselves. And I pray that you help us to live and operate with your unconditional love. We pray that you continue to shape the messages from this pulpit that are an accurate reflection of your person, your thinking, your work, your reputation, and your essence. And we ask this through the power of God the Holy Spirit, and in Christ's name, amen. Thanks for watching. Thanks for listening. I didn't want to say thanks for coming.